Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 55 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of ComicBook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today, I got my wonderful co-hosts, Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
And we have Janelle Wheeler from a very special location today.
Hey, guys. Very excited, and I'm bringing the family in. Yeah. I'm visiting my folks, and they're rocking the Comic Book Nation. Say hi, Mom and Dad.
Hello. That is
like, Comic Book Nation, how's it going?
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. See, that's real moral support. That is a great person.
Thanks. I love you guys. They streamed with me on Twitch, too, so it was awesome.
Aww. And
my dad was really excited about one of the topics that we're talking about today, so that was great.
Oh, man. See, that's great. That's good parenting. That's a much better example of parenting than like me and Matt usually bring to this whole thing, you know.
That's not true.
What did I do?
Exactly. Perfectly said about your parenting technique. What did I do? All right. Here we go. But after that, and my God, we just had a special cameo for Janelle's parents. And I just totally left out. Mr. Connor Casey's back with us, and he's not even necessarily here to talk wrestling. He's just hanging out.
Yeah, I'm here too. My parents aren't here, so I guess I don't get an intro, huh, Kofi?
I mean, you bringing more to the table? I mean, Janelle's bringing
stuff to
the table.
I have a microphone now, finally. It's all professional and stuff.
I noticed that. Well
done. So you're just getting off the kitty-sized stool onto the big boy table.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just progress a little at a time. We got a microphone for you. Step one. Now you can bring guests that are awesome. Step two.
You're hitting this co-host appreciation out of the park, Kofi.
I know.
He just loves my parents. It's cool.
I mean, I like what Janelle bringing to the table here. Janelle's bringing it. All right. But we got a lot to talk about today, and it's a good thing Connor's here. We're going to be talking about something crazy in the world of WWE / the world of football because The Rock has bought the XFL. So we got to take a minute and address that. We're going to talk about some more updates with Marvel's The Avengers video game that are kind of cool, and something worth making you watch The Office yet again. We got to talk about that. I threw something in here in gaming news that just made me laugh because we made jokes about it on the show, but now it's really happening.
Is that why you put that in
there? I was shocked. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Why is this here?
Yeah. We're going to talk about this. So
figures you would like.
Oh, yeah, we're going to definitely get into this. It could be today's grenade. Some people have been asking for a grenade. Well, I think I found a good one. And we're going to deep dive into spoilers about Umbrella Academy Season 2 and to talk about Netflix trying to develop its own kind of mega franchise like Star Wars or Harry Potter or Marvel or guess. So we're going to talk about all of that. And plus, Matt is going to talk comics. So let's begin. All right. So at the top, I know this isn't a sports show, this is Comic Book Nation, but the world of wrestling, you know, we do cover on the show, and it does apply. Plus, it's just too great in 2020 not to talk about. The Rock and some of his business partners, including his ex-wife, have purchased the XFL. So Vince McMahon's, I'm going to start my own football league venture that kind of crashed and burned twice, let's be clear, twice, has now been purchased by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and I said his business partners, who his ex-wife is, I don't know, Jerry.
Danny Garcia.
Yeah, Danny Garcia's ex-wife and Jerry Cardinale of Redbird Capital. They've all kind of partnered in their business partners. And so they're taking the XFL, and they're going to give the XFL an overhaul and relaunch it. So, yeah, that's where we are in 2020. The Rock is now the first person of color to own a sports league, and Danny Garcia is the first woman to own a sports league. So I guess that's progress.
Wow. And, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
I mean, it's a big milestone. So, yeah, the Rock is going to bring back the XFL. And, you know, it sounds crazy on paper at first. You're just like, what? Why would the Rock spend his money? I guess he just has enough money to throw away. But, you know, there are a lot of people who were pointing out, like, in reactions online, making some good points that while we all kind of balked at the XFL in the beginning, in a world of post-coronavirus, like, the XFL is not a bad proposition because the smaller scale of it is something you can do in, like, a bubble-type situation, like basketball or, you know, is baseball – I forget if baseball is doing a bubble. How would they handle
They're not.
It?
No,
and
I wish they
were. That's kind of
the
problem right now.
Oh, yeah, they're dying.
We're having issues.
Baseball's dying. Baseball. Basketball's in the bubble. Is hockey in the bubble?
Yes, and it's actually
hockey's
working.
Hockey's the other one, yeah. Hockey and basketball, the two that are in the bubble, they're indoor, obviously. Sports and yeah, the XFL is something you could, you could refit to be, you know, an indoor arena football that actually kind of sustains itself and is there. Plus you got the Rock behind it. So that's instantly now made people who never cared about the XFL be like, I'm team XFL, team Rock, you know,
that's
that man
me.
Can do attach his name to anything and do it. So we rarely get to share our sportsing side off on this show, so but we do have some sportsing. It's amazing how many of you geeks actually know something about sports.
This is what my dad was pumped about, man. He was like, wait, what? You guys are talking about the XFL? I was like, yeah Dad, come on.
No, you'd be surprised. Like, in the comic book offices, there are people who throw down, like, crazy Marvel arguments that are followed by basketball statistical arguments. Like,
mostly from JK and Charlie.
Yeah, I was
JK and Charlie started.
Yeah,
and then Matt everyone
gets heated.
Else.
Yeah, Matt gets heated. Connor gets heated. So there's a lot of sportsing that actually goes on, which is good because we share company with a bunch of sports nuts. So, I mean, I guess that all makes sense.
Fit. Yeah.
So let's talk. How you guys feeling? XFL return. Isn't this so 2020, Matt?
I this is one of those rare times that I'm not going to blame something on Vince McMahon. So, like, there's no way he could have seen the coronavirus coming, right?
First of all, let's just stop and pause and say the Vince McMahon reaction memes online have been the best thing about this whole thing.
He's so memeable. It's just everything the man does, right? Yeah, like, this is one of the times where it was actually, and we even talked about it in the office a couple of times, of like, people were actually watching. Like, people were actually interested kind of in this, and reactions for the stuff that was coming out was actually positive more than negative. And then it happens, right? And there's nothing you can do about this. So the second bankruptcy was kind of that. So I actually think, like, it's getting its, maybe its due shot with this. I mean, if it fails this time, I feel like it's time to put it to bed. Like, don't do it again. No one else needs to do it. I know Dwayne and, you know, his partners, what, they're splitting the $15 million to
which
buy
is a
it.
Cheap price. That's
the
price.
It's a drop in the bucket for him. It's $5 million. Here you go.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's just comparison to, I mean, what was the last time someone evaluated the Lakers? And it was like, oh my God, how much was it? It was, I thought it was in the billions.
It is
that one. So like,
oh, yeah, Lakers are in the billions. Yeah.
It's
and that's considered nuts. A mom and pop business,
right? Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I think it's cool. I think The Rock automatically, like you said, brings in an audience that did not care about this before. They will at least probably give it a shot, you know, and it'll key in that mainstream consciousness. So I think it's good.
You think that this is going to get a weird good bounce out of this whole coronavirus situation? Because again, like, the thing about the like, we're still stumbling, is the outdoor sporting events, baseball, football, things like that, are so, they're both sports are big in scale in terms of play, about how many people you need out on the field, umpires, teams on the side, you know, all these personnel. And, you know, they're big in terms of the size of the crowds they attract and, like, all of that, from tailgating to all that.
I think it depends on their approach. It depends on their approach, because how – the thing I'm most interested to hear is, when do they – like, they own it now, right? They've saved it. People still have jobs and things like that. But we have no idea of when they're actually planning to – roll
actually
this out.
We do. Danny Garcia told ESPN that they want to try and get a season rolling next February. There's a lot of problems with that because we could very well see the NFL and college football seasons get bumped out to that point. I think they're really trying to rush this. And
I mean, rightly so, to be fair. Like, you got to strike while the iron's hot. Like, I mean, this is a timing issue.
But you the coronavirus stuff is one thing, but, you know, this second relaunch with McMahon, they were already planning on, you know, this being a money pit for 3 years until they could prove to television networks that they were worth a big television contract. I mean, people liked what they saw from those first 5 weeks, but the ratings weren't great.
No.
And all the networks were doing so far was just paying for the production expenses. So this thing was, I think it was $100 million for each of the next 3 years was how much they were going to have to throw into this in order for it to stick around long enough to maybe get ESPN or Fox's attention.
Yeah.
On top of that, the coronavirus stuff, and it's like, it might take 2 years before we can even talk about this being a season.
Well, and like we've talked about, right? So that initial date, that's very close to me. Like, not makes me scared about it, but that's a very small window. I know it feels like it's February next year, but like, that's a very small window. I would feel personally better if they, you know, because I mean, these people had to buy it knowing going in that this is a long-term thing. This is not a short-term get rich quick and then turn around, sell it to somebody else. Like, they had to know that going in. So, I mean, I feel like middle to late next year is probably a spot that I think that maybe they should be aiming for. I mean, look, they also gave Tenet release dates, and that movie didn't come out when it was supposed to.
Right. So they might say February.
They might say February, but I don't think that should happen. I think it should be later because, again, like, this really needs all the time it can get, not for anything really other than the fact that people aren't comfortable. People aren't going to be going to events. You can't even hold events in a lot of places still. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much uncertainty, and I don't see that clearing up before the beginning of the year. And even then, it's going to take months to get to some semblance of normal, even after those restrictions have been lifted. So all of that affects their bottom line, because like Kofi said, this is not an NBA. This is not something you can kind of more control, because there's only got to be so many people out.
So, yeah. All right. That's the XFL. We're going to wait and see what happens with that. We're not going to get too deep. I mean, it's just crazy. Exactly. The Rock now owns. Yeah, I know. But we're going to keep it moving. So we're going to move on from that to another question. So we got some new Mutants teasers that have been put out. And we're waiting to see if this movie is going to make its August 28th date. It's looking kind of doubtful. There's some international marketing that suggests maybe it's getting pulled again. But we're not here to talk about that. But what we keep seeing, it looks better and better. Could this actually end up being one of the – would it be ironic, and do you think this could end up being one of the better Marvel movies we've seen recently? And if so, do you think Disney – I mean, they've said in the past that it's quote-unquote part of the Marvel movie universe. Do you think they would keep it going and kind of – is there hope for a New Mutants in the future?
Oh, my gosh. I hope so. I would – the more teasers I see, the more I'm like, oh, my gosh, I really wish that this would be like a series. Like,
so now let's just before I continue, let's just put in the caveat that this is a cast that would have to come back after now potentially looking at five release delays.
Yeah, and also like they've all gone on to do really big projects and kind of get other things started, you know. I mean, they all have so many different things going on now. I'm not sure if they even could come back or would want to, or if the studio would want to pay them what they probably think they deserve now. I don't know, but it just looks so good. I think that this is kind of like the dark side of Marvel that I would love to see and I'm excited to see. And it's just a whole different vibe. And yeah, I would love to see more of it. And I can't wait to see it.
Is this going to be Marvel's Snyder Cut?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Why would you say that?
Because I get that reaction.
You're setting us up, man.
Because I get that reaction. I'm going to actually write an article just called titled that. Just to see the internet do that.
Tons of clicks.
I mean, yeah, just because basically, I mean, it's the same question. When we finally get to see this thing, are we going to be happier? Or are we going to be more upset? Because now there's nothing to continue, even if it all works out well. Like, New Mutants is a great movie. We're like, oh, my God. Are we now just more heartbroken because there were plans for this, right? There was like a whole trilogy plan. There was New Mutants 2. We're going to get Warlock. We're going to get Karma. There was a whole I think they were going to do Inferno or something crazy. They were going to keep with the demon stuff. So, like, yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like no matter what, there's heartbreak at the end of this. And maybe for Charlie Ridgely, most of all, if this thing gets delayed another fifth time.
I mean, I guess we just focus on this first release, and then who knows? You know, there's been so many reboots and so many new things that people are talking about. I think everybody's chomping at the bit to get back into the studio, to get back to creating. And you never know. Like, this might have given this time, might have given people energy to kind of get back into the game on this, or so, if it does well. Man, so it's up to us.
That Florida sun's making you real positive. I like it.
Man, I know. So hopeful. I loved it.
All right.
Back to normal.
All right. New Mutants. Anybody taking bets? It's going to be an awesome Marvel movie. We'll keep at it if it ever gets released. So, Matt, moving right along from that little stopping point, let's talk about Marvel's The Avengers. We're back at it. We're not done with it yet. There's some beta updates. Plus, we got a very special character that's coming that, I mean, this was a good move. It was a good PR move. They made this move. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so, let's get to the first, the big news first. Spider-Man is going to be a character exclusive to the PlayStation.
Sorry, yeah. Brandon.
I know. I saw him when I saw this news. I saw him like somewhere crying.
Absolutely.
He can go crying to his Halo.
So the game, no date, no release date for the character has been released yet. But there was a lengthy kind of description on the PlayStation blog that kind of went into detail about like what they're hoping for the character and what they're trying to capture. As we had previously talked about, like this game does not connect to Marvel's Spider-Man. Yeah. So they're not in the same world. However, I'm like, how do they not do a skin that is the PS4 Spider-Man skin? Like they've got to at least do that. And honestly, there's a, by the time you're hearing this, we'll have a full interview with some of the development team about Marvel's Avengers and about Spider-Man in particular. And, you know, one of the things they talked about was that this really came about because Sony and Marvel have that relationship now because of Spider-Man. And that's why they were able to do this. It's all kind of coming from that spot. So that's, I mean, you know, that's why Spider-Man's only going to be on PlayStation. And honestly, if it hadn't been for that relationship, you know, it might have been down the line before we actually saw him. So that's great news. I'm excited. I mean, they said, you know, Ditko was, you know, an inspiration for their Spider-Man, but you're going to see a lot of different costumes, I'm sure. Just going off of, and this kind of segues into the next thing. So me and Tanner got to do a full media beta this weekend. Four Marvel's Avengers, so we got to play the opening level, of course, but then we got to actually go in
jealous.
And play like the war zones and play some of the other story missions and some of the villain sectors and things like that. And just going off of Black Widow and Miss Marvel, who both have swinging mechanics, just kind of, you know, Black Widow can use her grappling hook and Miss Marvel can obviously use her, you know, embiggen abilities to kind of stretch. The swinging feels amazing. Like you're actually kind of sort of Spider-Man with them already. Wow. So that made me very happy now that they're actually going to get to do Spider-Man. I was like, okay, they already have the basic mechanics. A lot like Hawkeye when we talked about their Tomb Raider background, how it naturally gives itself to Hawkeye. It's going to be the same thing. I feel that's like Spider-Man's awesome. In good hands after feeling the swinging. So I mean, we got to play a lot. We got to play with four of the heroes, Iron Man and Black Widow, Hulk and Miss Marvel.
Can I ask which one is your favorite?
By far, coming out of this, Black Widow is the best character. She's so fun. There's so many, like, you can unlock.
Are there limits on, like, how far she can take a fall or drop?
Oh, my gosh. Too soon?
Wow. I know.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, man.
Crazily enough, though, no.
Good for them. Good for them.
So, no end game dying here. Yeah, exactly. She actually has, there's three skill trees that were unlocked for the beta, but there's going to be multiple pages of other ones, in the full game. But like, even just from that initial page, you can unlock her like automatic, weapons. You can then do like a full on like Colt, kind of hard hitting one. And then of course you've got her natural, dual pistols unlocked from the get go, but there's so many options to mix and match there. And at one point her ultimate heroic is her like essentially, and I told this to the developers, you essentially made her Darth Maul. She like puts her staff together and it lights up red, and like she's just mowing down stuff and like does energy things from it, and it looks so, it's so dope.
Oh my gosh.
So
cool. Wow.
So yeah, that surprised me. I knew I was gonna like Widow, but I didn't realize like how much. You know, I think Tanner, Hulk was clearly his favorite. And honestly, for those who remember the Ultimate Destruction game from GameCube days, I feel like they're going to have an absolute ball with him. I mean, it really is just like putting a tank through a level. But you know, there's issues in like, there was a couple of times where like when everything hits the fan, and there are several times where there's so many things on screen, frame rate does need to kind of get tweaked so it doesn't chug in those spots. You know, there was like there was one time when so Iron Man's ultimate is to bring out the Hulkbuster. The coolest thing about it is that anyone can get in it, so it doesn't have to just be Iron Man. It can be,
oh, that's pretty tight.
Yeah, so wow. Like at one point you make it, and I didn't realize it at the time, so it's like sitting over there, and then like Tanner hops in with Miss Marvel and it's just like guiding the Hulkbuster. Unfortunately, one of the levels, every time I called the Hulkbuster in, like it glitched the game. It was like this one level, so I was like twice I couldn't use it. Now the good news is that we could just reset a checkpoint, but still it was like I can't use my thing. So again, there's little things they need to iron out. But overall,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, no, there are some things like that. But overall, that was a ball. Like that was really fun. And again, it's gonna matter when you have friends. Co-op play is going to be this money.
In some of your cases.
In some cases, if. Man, you are being so mean to the to this group of people today. It was super, super fun. I came away really like looking forward to getting more time with it. Ironically, they did learn from Fortnite. So there is like a, I forget what they call it. It's like a challenge bar, but it is it's a battle pass. Like,
so we have to build forts and stuff. I'm just kidding.
yes, you have to build forts. You get cool pickaxes.
Never understand battle passes, never will.
So essentially, like as you complete challenges daily and weekly, you'll get points, and those points go to like unlocking a bunch of things from emotes to nameplates and costumes. There's a lot of costumes in this game. For those who have been critical about the costumes, I will say I don't think they're going to be swayed when they see the initial lineup of costumes, because that's the one area that I feel like they are. And I feel like we got news today, right, that there's going to be on launch day, and for people who play the PlayStation version, there's going to be like exclusive, like here's some really cool skins, here's some really cool things to get you started. I feel like they're saving the iconic costumes for stuff like that and not doling them out here. Because like, especially like Miss Marvel, I was like, most of these, I think I told Tanner, it felt like playing The Division. It's like, oh, here's a new thing of khakis. Oh, here's a shirt. Like it's not the, you know, like Iron Man was different, of course, because like he has so many armors. So like there's a couple. Hulk had a couple, and Black Widow, though, like not all the looks, like the gray Black Widow suit's not in there. So I'm like, how? Like there's obvious ones that just like scream out and they're not in there. So like that's the part that I feel like there will be a mainstream.
Are you trying to sell this game? I'm unclear.
Yeah, because the core gameplay is fantastic. I really enjoyed it, but I'm just being honest about like.
Nah, keep overall. It real. This is a keep it real podcast. Keep it real for the people.
But the actual gameplay, I wanted to do, I played right up until the beta stopped, which was like at 1 a.m. It's like at 1 a.m. and I was playing that entire time because it's fun. The war zones, like you can have a mission that lasts 10 minutes and you can have one that lasts an hour, and there's some that even have like hidden areas and things like that. And playing with people or even your companions, if they're AI, is fun. It's cool to just the action, the moment to moment action is fun. So I'm really stoked. Like I left with kind of beaming about the overall game. There's things that need to work out and I hope get improved over time, but man, it's fun.
All right. That's Matt playing games. Marvel's Avengers Edition. Again. No, I'm just kidding. You did a great job. Thank you for checking that out. Thanks to Tanner for checking that out. I'm sure you can get a lot of that great content on comicbook.com gaming. Yeah. We're going to take a break, pay some bills, but when we get back, we have to talk about what's going on with The Office, a nice video game that some people here are happy about because they're
Kofi cool. playing video games.
Yeah, Kofi on games. Yeah, Kofi edition. And we're going to deep dive into spoilers of Umbrella Academy Season 2 and talk about Netflix trying to create its own mega franchise. So stay tuned for all of that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, so The Office. Peacock is trying to get us to do something to come on to Peacock, and they know which buttons to press. And so the service, if you don't know, Netflix has The Office right now, but that licensing deal ends at the end of this year, and then it will move over to Peacock, where you will have to go to find The Office and Parks and Rec and all that stuff. So that's kind of Peacock's claim to fame. Eventually, we're going to have that hot stuff you've been watching forever. But to kind of get people back into it, they've been teasing that they're going to be off putting in new stuff. And here's their quote. "We're going to be reintroducing The Office in a more complete way, incorporating elements that were not part of the original broadcast," is what a Peacock executive told Bloomberg News in a recent interview. So
interesting.
It's not explained what that means, but there is, as we broke it down in our article from Adam Barnhart, don't get so crazy about what this means. This is not like Office, the Snyder cut, again, to bring that, or like the Scott cut, you know.
Craig Daniels cut.
Yeah. It's not probably going to be something like that. There is going to probably be added elements for the Peacock things that they either haven't been released or were like only on DVDs or things like that. Behind the scenes content, deleted scenes. I'm sure they'll have, you know, making ofs or
bloopers
other things.
Would be great.
Bloopers, like, yeah, things they haven't maybe released will be kind of accessible through that. That's the most likely thing, or just like added extras to episodes that, you know, we didn't see.
Well, the big thing is the digital exclusives that we'll get, because I don't know if anyone else is. I mean, I imagine everyone here has kind of gone YouTube surfing in The Office. And there are so many, if you go hunting, there's so many that were web exclusives at the time. And they're full clips and full things of sequences that just never made it into the show. Some of them are hilarious. Some are like, yeah, I get it why this didn't make it into the show. But they're like full on.
That's another good point. Yes, yeah. There are. I mean, I forgot about that in the 2000s. They were hard to watch.
Exactly. No one saw them.
took 10 minutes to just get one 2-minute clip. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, there were all those webisodes you could actually incorporate into the show in any kind of way. So, I mean, there are some fun ways they could remix The Office. Basically, this is all a ploy to get us to watch The Office again, which I don't really need because I'm going to do that yearly pretty much anyway. But yeah. But no, that's kind of a cool thing. And now, again, as I put in the show notes, now I have a reason to care about Peacock. There you go. Good job, marketing team. So be on the lookout for that in 2021. The Office, the new Daniels cut edition, I guess we should call it.
Even though he doesn't seem very like, you know.
No, I mean, they're not in a rush. Nobody's in a rush to bring back The Office, and it's probably impossible. Man, John Krasinski's getting that Quiet Place money. And that Jack Ryan money. He's not trying to do this gym crap again.
Yeah.
Carell's getting nominated for
Oscar. Like, getting that Oscar prestige and getting money. Like, yeah. None of these people. Ellie Kempner's like, I don't need to be a secretary. I'm leading my own series now. I mean, like, yeah, and Andy, I keep calling him Andy. Ed Helms has got that hangover money. He doesn't even need to come out of the house.
I still call him Andy.
Hangover, yeah, hangover residuals. Who knows what Rainn Wilson's doing, but I'm sure he has a stockpile of gold like Ron freaking Swanson somewhere. Like, you know, so. Now, The Office is one of those shows, like, it's done. Like, if it's rebooted, it's going to be a new generation. And they're already, the creators of The Office are already making a pretty much The Office reboot, which is like a workplace corona, post-corona comedy, which is already in the works. So we're going to get the next Office, which is, you know, the workplace in the post-corona world. Or just not even post, who knows. But so we're already getting the next stage of that concept. So, I mean, rewatching The Office with some new material will be cool, I guess. And I'm happy to announce that Amazon Prime Video has renewed Hunters for season 2. That was just a quick mention. I was like, oh, nobody will care about this. But then I saw Matt had put it in his links. And so, yeah, let's mention that. Hunters, I really love that series when it came out. I think it, was that last fall?
Really?
I don't remember.
Oh, God.
I don't remember.
Time flows in a weird,
It wasn't very long ago.
It was from the old world, before the true. I don't remember when it exactly was.
It's the only way you can get a Cloud Atlas reference these days.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That was this year. It was February. Oh, my God.
It was like 6 months ago.
Wow. Well, it's a good show regardless.
Yeah.
I feel like
it was kind of skipped over by a lot of people because of COVID when it first started happening. It kind of released during that time.
Yeah, February 21.
Yeah, I missed it. I literally, when I saw it in our show notes today, I looked it up and I went, I didn't watch this. Oh my, I was like kicking myself.
Dude, yeah.
So I'm pumped. I get to start it. I'm so excited.
It's a good time to PSA. If you haven't seen Hunters, it's great. Yeah. It's based on a true events about people who were kind of commissioned to hunt Nazis that had escaped into the U.S. after World War II. Jordan Peele's involved in it. There's a lot of people involved in making the show. It's a good show. Al Pacino, Logan Lerman stars in it. And as we said, we reviewed it on the show if you go back and kind of look it up. But what was great about this show is it was kind of like really over the top and like kind of Umbrella Academy at times, but like also really terrifying, like legitimately horror movie terrifying, like a lot. Like all the scenes with these kind of people pretending to be ultra-American people who turn out to be crazy Nazi scientists and killers and stuff. Like all those scenes are really terrifying. And it also just kind of missed the cusp. I think Hunters, if it had been released in like, say, May or June, would have been like really viewed a lot more because, I mean, the themes of what it deals with is that kind of fascist influence and Nazi influence and how it survived. And that's the subtext about this isn't dead. This still survives in America and has been kind of, it just kind of wormed its way into the dirt after World War II and has been kind of growing like rot there. And that's now very timely themes. And like, yeah, so check out Hunters if you're looking for more content, as Janelle would say.
Yeah.
And much, you know, better, prettier fashion than I just did with my yeah, check out Hunters on Amazon because now's a good time to get into it because we're getting season 2, y'all. So, moving right along from that to Kofi on gaming.
Oh, gosh.
We're getting another Leisure Suit Larry game, and I just thought I'd celebrate that for a minute. We make jokes about Leisure Suit Larry on this podcast from time to time, but we're getting Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice, which is one of my favorite pun-inspired titles. And it's a sequel to the acclaimed 2018 game, Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry.
So, acclaimed.
And I just had to because, like, I missed it in 2018, but, like, Leisure Suit Larry, when I was growing up in gaming, this was like the forbidden fruit, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Not allowed. Yeah.
Not allowed to touch this very adult video game of like sex. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The Conker's Bad Fur Day of its generation.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to play it. I'm just not going to do it on stream because, you know, when I'm live, I don't want my chat to get out of control. And oh, I don't want people to think they can talk to me a certain way.
Twitch doesn't have a fans only fans button attached to streams. Like,
I mean, it does on a lot of streams, just not mine.
Oh, man. Oh, no. Yeah, no, this is just a gag one. I just wanted to say celebrate.
It does look interesting, though. I mean, I like the throwback aspect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's good because that was a classic.
Yeah.
And the puns, just the dirty humor and the bawdiness and the sex themes. Like, it was a great video game in its day, and I miss Leisure. And it's just something that made me feel good in 2020. We're seeing that if all the things that are just disappearing and changing on us, at least Larry's still doing his thing. You know? Get it? Still doing his thing.
See, you should put that on the shirt.
Yeah. That'll be my that'll be my addition to the game. Leisure Suit Larry still doing his thing. I'm like, yeah. All right. So back to serious topics. Hey, that was exciting than like 95% of you. That was more exciting than 95% of your gaming.
So. Oh my God. I love it.
I would just talk about Animal Crossing. So that's,
I like just love out opposite. Of all the games to for like the hill that Kofi dies on.
Well, yeah. I saw it in the list of our articles when I was screening for material. And then I saw the name of the game and I didn't stop laughing for like 5 minutes. I just wanted to say that. So be on the lookout for Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Dry Twice. So there you go.
Nice.
He just wanted to say the title. Yeah, exactly. And at least in Janelle's case, everybody else also likes Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is the best.
Hey, I've met plenty of fans at Leisure Suit Larry, my friend.
Like I said, I'll probably end up playing it, just not in front
of
anyone.
There's a particular parties that I travel to.
Stop it.
Upside down pineapples in the yard. Anyway. Moving right along, let's talk about, we have some time, so let's talk about The Walking Dead. Janelle, you're here. This would be an interesting one for you.
Yeah.
So, The Walking Dead World Beyond is the third series that's coming to TV, spun off The Walking Dead franchise. And we're kind of learning that there's going to be a character, and this takes place 10 years after the outbreak, so it's a long time. And, Dr. Leo Bennett, working for the Civic Republic Military, is somebody who could be working on a cure, possibly, for the zombie apocalypse. And basically, that's kind of a new addition to the Walking Dead story. It's something that we actually got hinted at in the very first season of the show when they went to the CDC. And, you know, there was this kind of big hint that disappeared from the show.
I totally thought they were going to, like, it was going to be a theme throughout the entire series, and then it just literally dissipated. It just went away.
My favorite part of the show.
Yeah, and then, like, it disappeared with Frank Darabont into the wind. And so the Walking Dead TV series never really went down that pathway again. It in the comic, certainly didn't. The comic, you know, spoilers on a year, you know, over however long it's been. Was that this year also?
That was in February.
Oh my God! I have like no memory of February. Yeah, I mean, like, let's be real. This month, this year begins for me on March 15th.
Yeah.
That's when this year.
And they
really
stopped letting us come to the office. That's when it was like, okay.
No, because that day, like, I tell people a story. Like, that was the day, like, I came home from the office. I was supposed to go see My Spy with Dave Bautista. And, like, I got to the theater, and then I just had, like, a panic attack, and I was like, the world's ending. And I ran to Target and bought supplies, which I still have hoarded into my garage right now. And like, I got in and got out before anybody else. Everybody's talking about toilet paper shortages. I was like, yeah, not me, dog.
No. You're the reason. Yeah. You're the reason.
Strike first. But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so this year starts for that. And I don't even know why we're talking about this.
I mean, it kind of relates. It's The Walking Dead. It's
you know,
they're saying that, you know, the cause of, you know, being zombified is possible pandemic. There's lots of different, you know, theories that he is kind of throwing out there. I guess that's what they've said. And the whole, I guess, I don't know, idea behind this new show is that the kid of this doctor finds out that he's in some kind of danger. And that's what makes this group of kids, this coming of age tale during the zombie apocalypse, even start. Like, that's why they leave their community. And that's like what the whole thing's based off of. I didn't know that until, you know, now. So I don't know. I'm curious. It's, you know, what are these kids going to do to be able to save their, you know, grown father? He obviously is very important because if he has the cure or even has an idea of how to cure something, losing him would be really bad for humanity. So it kind of piqued my interest a little bit more than originally for me, because I just don't, when I saw this show, I just, it felt like Stranger Things in a zombie apocalypse. And I just wasn't really, I didn't really buy into the child storyline, like the teenage storyline, because I'm not a teenager and they're just not relatable to me. But now knowing what's at stake, I'm like, okay, I get it now. Okay, I can get behind this. They're trying to save their dad who could possibly save the world. So, okay.
Save the dad, save the world.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll try it out. We'll see. It's going to come on immediately after the season finale. I'm putting it in quotes because they're adding, you know, episodes next year to the season of The Walking Dead. But it's going to come on right after that. And then right after that will be The Talking Dead. So we'll have a lot to talk about coming up in October.
I mean, to people who don't necessarily watch The Walking Dead, you guys, does this add stakes that you would care about on the grand scale of the thing? Or are you just like still there? Matt, Connor?
I mean, I've said on this podcast and in the past that like that was one of the best episodes of that like first season was that CDC episode. And then a lot of people felt that way. And so like the comics have always disregarded that. And like, that's the cure is not the point. And so we don't focus on that. But I was always just really interested in that, and we didn't hear anything of it. And that's why I got excited for the upcoming movies, because there was rumors that the Rick movie was going to deal with that.
And Rick is tied to this father, I think. I think in these movies, like he is that group. I forget the name, CR, whatever the group name is.
CRM.
That is the helicopter that he was in. So it's, I think somehow they're going to tie this in together, like the Rick movies and the series in some way.
And that gets me excited.
Smart.
Yeah. Cause like that's the whole reason I cared about the movies.
Yeah.
Was that I'm at a point where I don't need more Walking Dead. I'm okay. Right. I enjoyed the seasons I enjoyed of the show. And then I kind of, but that has me like, I would pay attention. So if the new series is going to tie in a big way to that, that is, I didn't realize that either. So
fingers crossed.
Now I might actually give that a shot because it's the most interesting storyline to me.
So why these PSAs are important. Connor, how do you feel?
I never watched Walking Dead, have no desire to, and probably never will.
And there you have it. All right.
Love it.
All right. So Walking Dead, World Beyond, as Janelle said, is coming up after the season 10 quote unquote finale. Which is, when does that hit again? October.
Oh gosh, October, right?
I think early October.
Like maybe the 14th. I'll look it up when I'm on my
2020,
big PC.
We don't use dates anymore.
That's sometime in October.
We just say regions
around Halloween.
It could possibly happen.
Yeah.
So early October.
I should have that memorized.
All right, so after that, another update on Leisure Suit Larry. No, I'm just kidding. Let's make this right along.
That's cool.
So I want to talk about Umbrella Academy season 2 first, and then we'll talk about Netflix and their crazy franchise plans as our kind of send out. Umbrella Academy season 2, we did a review last week. Spencer Perry came on and kind of broke down what to expect from the season, but he did it spoiler free for us. Now it's out and we've had a chance to kind of see it. I finished the season just before this, actually. So I've seen the whole thing. But there are some varying opinions on where we are in the binge process of Umbrella Academy season 2. But I'll say that overall, I kind of liked season 2. And I think what Spencer kind of alluded to was correct for various reasons. I actually ended up liking season 2 a little bit more than season 1, I think. Mostly because I thought, Klaus points out very early on, I thought everybody was better looking in this season. I liked a lot of the hairstyles and costuming a lot more this season. I also thought
superficial.
A lot of
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is TV. It's TV. You want less superficial? Do radio. That's what I do. I don't expect anybody to like come on here and appreciate my somewhat presentable face, like, you know. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Yeah, so I thought everybody looked good and like the design was a lot better. I like the 1960s setting. I actually thought it kind of worked for this season in certain ways a little bit better. And making the kind of the actual characters, the Umbrella Academy, more of their quirky fish out of water kind of aspect was a lot more fun for me. And I thought just the overall storyline of this season, even though it was less drawn from the books, like Spencer pointed out, actually kind of came around and came together in a lot better way. And I might have been tainted because I did a post about people's reactions to the season, and I did one where somebody did like one of those spoilers without context photos, which actually kept me really entertained because as I watched the season and certain big things happened, I knew what photo meant what, and I was just cracking up. So that was a bit of good fun that I enjoyed on my own. But yeah, overall, I thought Umbrella Academy Season 2 was just a better, more in-depth storyline, and I'm a rare person like who kind of enjoys that. Like, I really like Luke Cage Season 2 a lot better than Season 1 because I did like the deeper, kind of more involved character story, and I like those kinds of things. And this season did a good job of handling that with each of the characters in the ensemble, having their own paths to walk through the 1960s and doing that. And so I enjoyed it. And the finale was a lot better, I thought. The actual final battle and showdown was really good and properly scaled for like a Netflix show of this popularity. And the cliffhanger, I'm really super psyched now to see season 3. So mission accomplished. And just for some spoilers, because we're talking spoilers, and I'm still just gave a whole breakdown without spoilers.
It was great because I haven't gotten that far. Really good. I was like, you did a great job of interesting me. Yeah.
Stop there, but there are some big, powerful moments too that like really, I mean, there are some really good emotional beats that, you know, really, really hit you in the heart with some things. And so,
I mean, I even felt though that all of the things you just said in the first episode alone, I've only watched the first one, and you know, I am at home with my parents. My mom doesn't watch anything besides like Iron Man. That's it. She loves him. But she comes in and she sits down and watches the first episode of season 2 with me, and she's hooked. Like, she doesn't even know what happened in season 1, and she wants to watch the whole series. And I mean, episode 1 is just awesome. Like, so much happens in one episode, and it leaves you wanting more. Like when the episode was over, I'm like, no, I need to watch more. Like, yeah, I just thought it was really well done. I love all of these characters so much more now. I just feel like we're seeing better sides of them, just like you said.
Yeah.
I
loved Messiah Klaus more than Anna Klaus.
So good, yes.
Janelle, that gets so much better.
Yeah, Messiah Klaus is like the best thing in this season, more so than Anna Klaus. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I said how they look, I really was saying more of just, you know, they're not just their appearance, but the actual characterizations of them this season and what they're dealing with. Like, it was great to see Allison dealing with the 60s civil rights stuff.
That was amazing.
Even Luther's moping was kind of funnier and played for more for laughs and humor this time than being like seriously dramatic and stuff like that. And I like how Diego evolved and all that stuff. Connor, you binged this too.
Yes, I did. I finished it the whole way. And I've got some nitpicks. So, Matt, you might want to put on.
No, it's okay. I will still enjoy it just as much.
No, yeah. My take is
let Matt. We got to let Matt say, because Matt, Matt has something to say about this
I'm not trying to yuck anyone else's yum, but what I
am. Because I am. So that's
what I am saying is I didn't make it through the first episode. I quit because I got bored. I quit. Ooh. I quit.
Grenade!
I quit.
That
episode, aside from the one sequence that we saw in the trailer where they released like the intro and it's like the cool apocalypse scenario. Aside from that, I was so bored. I was literally like watching it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this, man. I don't care. I got other things I'd rather do than watch the show. So I stopped.
You're on your own that way.
No, I'm sorry. Like it was so like we're doing the same thing over again, premise wise. And I was already like, now granted, I'm not the highest on the first season. I enjoyed it, but it's not like near one of my favorite shows. So, I mean, this isn't coming from like, I thought the first one was a classic or anything. I liked it, but I didn't love it. So then coming into this, I need you to grab me. And going back to, okay, well, we're assembling everybody because they got to prevent another apocalypse. And the just like we're meeting all the characters, I get it, but like, man, like it was such a slog. I was just like, I'm done. I stopped. I will say that everyone else's enthusiasm, I am perfectly excited for, and maybe one day I will give it another shot, because maybe it's just a thing of like the first episode doesn't do it for me, but maybe it gets great. Cause like, I love all the things you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
But,
I think Kofi nailed it on the different looks. Like that's kind of what grasped me at the beginning, was just seeing the rundown, like what they all looked like when they were seriously like fighting the Soviets before the real storyline picks up, just seeing them all look really cool and like fighting together. That's what grabbed me.
I will also throw in another caveat, is that I have, after watching something I can't talk about yet and seeing how that opens and then following that up with this,
okay,
it was like I constantly compared it. I constantly compared and went, this is so boring compared.
Yeah, I was watching like a basketball game and then I turned this on and I was just like,
so
was
I will fun. Preface it with that. But yeah, I mean, Connor, feel free.
All right, so Matt, it's funny you say that they're talking, that they're going through a lot of the same motions again, because Kofi, having seen the whole thing, my biggest complaint is that it felt like they had to backtrack and redo a bunch of the points from the first season, and maybe in the third season we actually move a little bit forward with this group, because as much as I love the fact that they're in the 60s, and I don't even mind the conceit of, oh, they all got dropped in different spots, so they had to deal with that fact. I hate the fact that we spend the first half of the season where they're all still separated and they refuse to all be in the same room with each other. Fifth episode comes around and Five literally turns to the camera and goes, we have to get the Umbrella Academy back. That's great. They spend 2 minutes and then they're instantly distracted by other things and get separated again. And we never see them all team up right until the end. And that drives me nuts. I hate that with Allison, they said, well, we can't have her and her relationship with Luther develop, so let's give her a husband. So that's a distraction for a couple episodes. We can't have Vanya deal with the fact that she was the white violin and destroyed the world, so let's give her amnesia and a plot line from The Last of Us 2 with a relationship that has so many red flags on it that it drives me nuts. We spend so much of the season on that, all for it to just go, yeah, this isn't going to work out because time travel, because reasons. We're not going to give a good reason why. All that being said, I dug the hell out of the season. I dig Five's axe-wielding rampage. I love everything that Luther's doing up until the point where they think he's really stupid again when he's dealing with the two Fives. I love all the stuff with the civil rights stuff, with what Allison's doing, and that, you know, that sit-in is fantastic and so wonderfully done. Jesus Klaus. Everything with every scene Ben was involved with. Especially when he takes over Klaus's body there for that good 5 minutes. The final scene between Ben and Vanya, where she she becomes at peace with herself, and he ascends to heaven. All that stuff's great. It just felt like they could have moved things around a little bit, so it didn't feel like a remix of the first season with a 60s coat of paint.
I think the difference between me and you here is that while I watch like a recap, I don't remember enough of the details of Umbrella Academy season one at this point for that to kind of have bothered me.
Yep.
And so like the season two was, and I think season two's premiere is probably one of the weaker episodes of the season, if I'm being honest, in terms, cause it is just a lot of catching up and like not a lot of new things happening. But, I didn't remember the beats of the first season enough to like have that distract me.
Yeah, not until you said them, Connor, and I'm like,
I was like, oh yeah. I mean, like, and I don't think you're wrong. I think you're absolutely right with like a lot of what you're saying. But like, I liked some of the tweaks you mentioned. Like, I got like the Vanya storyline. I liked because it wasn't like, oh, this wasn't like hit your head amnesia. I mean, the big kind of development in the end is that she willfully did this to herself. Because she couldn't deal with who she wanted, and she wanted a fresh start.
What she became.
Yeah, and I got that. And Ellen Page is great, so she can pull off that kind of that storyline. And I actually liked her in the relationship, but Legends of Tomorrow lady. But that also kind of petered out. And the relationships. I liked Allison and Ray's relationship because he was a great character.
Ray's great.
Yeah, he's a great
I wish they could have done more with him.
And I loved, and I actually didn't care about that until she told him everything. And then I was like, okay, now this is actually good, because him trying to like adjust and keep up with like what all of these people are talking about and what's happening. It was, I mean, that was just great comedic scenes, and him and Allison are really good. But those were like, yeah, those are the extraneous things that you have on everything. I don't care if Luther's dumb or not. Like, I don't care enough about Luther to like.
The show can't decide how dumb he is, because for most of the season he's like functional, and then Five and older Five are in the same room together, and they're both just like, "You should kill him because I say so." He's like, "Okay," and then he points the gun at the other guy. Like, okay, he's not that stupid. Why are we suddenly treating him like he is?
I don't know. I mean, your nitpicks are all fair. They didn't bother me too much. If I had to say, let's see, if I was going to nitpick, I would just say that, I mean, there was one point, I think it's about before the third kind of act of the season really kicks in, when everybody's just kind of moping around and kind of sad before they kind of pick themselves back up. But they do pick themselves up with a great number with like Klaus, Vanya, and Allison doing it.
The dance is great.
Yeah, so that was good.
Also, the handler, that actress, she is there for two things.
Oh, Kate Walsh? Yeah.
She is there to choose scenery and wear ridiculous outfits, and I love it.
Yeah, Kate Walsh has the best time of anybody on Umbrella Academy. And I love Kate Walsh from, you know, back in the day of Grey's and her spinoff.
Private Practice.
Yeah, so I'm never mad at that. But yeah,
she doesn't make any sense that she's alive, but it's great that she is.
Yep. And the new addition to the cast, who plays her quote unquote daughter, is also really good. And she's great and different. And I really liked her. She kind of held things down because she changes over the course of the season, and she actually is playing like about three different characters overall. And I loved her. I loved her in the Nut House. I loved her like when she's in a relationship with Diego, and then I loved her at the end when she goes like full super person on them. So,
and going back and looking at certain scenes, they hide what her power is really well. Because in other shows, they would have just said right off the bat, "Oh, I can do all your powers." It's like, nope, we're going to make you think maybe she can teleport, or maybe she's just a good fighter. We're not really sure. And then in the end, you get it.
And Ben was a great, they did so much more with Ben this season, and that actor was really great, and Ben was a great character this season, so it was good to see him back. So I enjoyed Umbrella Academy, and most importantly, like I said, I'm psyched for season 3 now, because the cliffhanger for season 2 was really good. And
I cannot wait to finish this season. I was pumped.
there's a great season 3 cliffhanger, and I would very much like to see that, because it sets up what could be the show's most exciting season yet. So
yeah, Janelle, don't let my nitpicks deter you from definitely watch it.
My fiance is so pissed that I started it without him, because I had to start it. I was like, if we're gonna talk about it, I have to at least watch the first episode. I'm so glad I got to. It was amazing.
All right, well, that's our breakdown of Umbrella Academy Season 2 and our semi-spoilers. We were going to talk about Netflix building its own franchise, but I think we'll save that for the next deep dive, because I would like to get into that, and we're kind of running out of time. So we'll leave some time for Matt to do some comic breakdowns today.
Yay!
Matt, what do we got coming our way?
So we have, for the X-Men fans, we have giant-size X-Men Phantom X, one of their, that kind of continuing storyline in a series of one-shots. We have Far Sector number 7. We have Legend of the Dark Knights, which is a one-shot that kind of is filled with a bunch of short stories. You're going to see a lot of the new Nightmare Batman and a few of the ones like B-Rex that have been introduced, and you're going to get to see their origins and things like that. Batmobeast, the monster truck Batman is in there. This also has the origin of the Robin King, so definitely for people who are paying attention to death metal, you will want to pick this up. We have Deceased Dead Planet number 2, which has one of the most interesting takes on Plastic Man I think I've seen.
Oh, that was terrifying.
I don't want to go in a full, but like spoiler territory, because like we can do that on a later show. But yeah, like that reaction.
Holy crap.
Yeah, is man, you will never see that dude in the same way. We also have Empire X-Men. Me and Kofi had talked about some of the spins to Empire were better than the core series. And personally, this was another case of that, because horticulture is all the way in this, and the back and forth.
They're growing on me.
Yeah.
growing on me. They were so weird when like Hickman introduced them, but it's growing on me now. I think I don't know if it's Portland or what, but like this whole idea of them like getting crazy to save the environment is pretty cool.
Yeah, and their stuff with Angel and Magic here is great. We also get Batman number 96, so that is the part two of Joker War. Deadpool number 6, Empire number 4, the core series. And then we have a fun one, which is the first issue of Metal Shark Bro, as literally the title. And it's going to be one I check out just because why not? You have to check out a book that's called Metal Shark Bro. So that is coming.
Goodbye.
You do, though. Metal Shark Bro.
All right, that'll do it for comics and this episode of Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for riding with us through, as always, if we provided a little bit of distraction from your quarantine life. We put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com. We can subscribe to our RSS feed. I keep saying that, but I don't even know if that's still true. So, you know, I don't know. It's just something I keep saying. But we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com. Or you can watch live every Wednesday and Friday on Facebook when they air there if you want to see our smiling faces. If you want to kind of subscribe and follow the show, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, Spotify, and Stitcher. Or you can tell any Amazon Alexa device to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, and it'll start right on up for you. If you have any ideas for the show, topics we want to talk about, anything you want to say to us, or you just want to say what's up, we are always hanging around the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler on all the socials and Twitch.
You can find me at Connor Casey underscore CB.
That'll do it. For us, if you're just getting in the show, go on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. We're going to be sending a bunch of t-shirts like the one modeled by Janelle's parents so wonderfully here.
They're good.
Guys, gals,
Mama and Papa Wheels.
They go with anybody. we have some great t-shirts we can give away. If you guys go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review on the show. When we get back in the studio after this whole quarantine stretch, we are going to be having to clean out that closet. And so we will be sending out a bunch of t-shirts to our 5-star reviewers. So be sure to get that done. Otherwise, this has been Comic Book Nation. Thank you guys for tuning in as always, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.
Later.